Federal vendors, contractors, will have to certify that they're not violating 14 federal labor laws in order to keep getting government contracts. President Obama signed an executive order yesterday creating another in a series of compliance requirements for more than 24,000 companies. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with details and analysis of the president's executive order. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so another executive order, another thing for contractors. What does this one call on contractors and agencies to do?
Well, let me start with contractors. This one specifically requires that prime and subcontractors, I think that's a very important piece to this executive order, must report back up to the government if they violated one of more than 14 different labor laws over the last 3 years. Now, we have that whole list on federalnewsradio.com, but let me just give you a couple of those labor laws that are most important. The Fair Labor Standards Act, the National Labor Relations Act, the Davis-Bacon Act, the Service Contract Act, the Civil Rights Act, and again, there's several others. Now, then what would happen is once that gets reported up, whether these contractors and subcontractors have violated the laws, contracting officers, so agency folks, then would use that information as part of their research process to determine whether the company is worthy of a federal contract. GSA also will create a database or update their current past performance database that would ensure they include this information so when contractors can easily find it. Now, just to be clear, I've simplified what this EO exactly calls for, and again, people can read the whole thing on federalnewsradio.com. But you get the point. What they're asking, what the administration is basically saying is we don't want contractors who have violated these laws to receive federal money. And in fact, that's what President Obama said yesterday before he signed the EO. He goes, listen, he says basically that his administration has taken steps to make the contracting process smarter. We've seen that through the reduction of sole source contracts or single source contracts, through the reduction of even, you know, management support contracts. But Obama says many of the people who award contracts don't always have the information they need to make sure the contracts go to the right companies, responsible companies. The EO is ensuring that contracting officers have that right information and that vendors are living up to the letter of the law. Now, this order is one of several that the administration is trying to use the power of government contracting to make change in society. Eric Crucius is a partner with the Center Law Group.
I think it's on a larger scale impact-wise. I mean, I think the gay and lesbian one that came out recently was very narrowly tailored. I thought it was very well written to have a minimal impact on contractors, and it pursued a goal that I think most people share. On the other hand, you have the 10-10 minimum wage one, which came out and included very vague language about who this would apply to, and the regulations have not helped clear that up. This one's probably right along with that one as far as having a maximum impact on contractors, and I think this one probably has more of an impact on contractors because the reality of the situation is that a lot of contractors undergo GOL audits and similar kinds of investigations, and the costs for those investigations to a company are very high, and this will only add to the cost.
Now, Crucius and others say the White House is actually using the power of its pen because in part of a dysfunction of Congress not getting anything done, and let's be honest here, this is part of a broader political aspect to those EEOs. I mean, the Democrats are in the White House. This is the labor groups have supported the Democrats. Let's call it like we see it, Tom. I mean, this is definitely something that the liberals, the left, is in favor of.
Well, I can understand that, but I guess the question is, if they're laws, companies have to obey them. So it seems a little bit redundant, even if it is politically popular, to ask companies to have to certify that they're complying with the laws. So why does the president feel he had to take these actions?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons the why they thought this was important, because you're absolutely right. These laws are on the books. They've been on the books for decades. And in many regards, vendors are complying with them. In fact, President Obama made that very clear, that the vast majority of contractors do not violate the labor laws. And if they do have problems, they do correct them fairly quickly. But there have been too many instances where companies violate these laws and they still get government contracts. David Madlin is a managing director of economic policy at the Center for American Progress. CAP is a big supporter of this EO.
There's been growing research by the GAO, by the Senate Help Committee, showing a major problem with companies, government contractors, violating basic wage and hour and OSHA laws and continuing to get new government contracts without any additional scrutiny. You know, about one third of the biggest violators of basic workplace laws get government contracts, according to the research by GAO and the Senate Help Committee.
Now, the GAO report Madeline's referring to is from 2010, and they GAO did an analysis that found when they looked at 15 contractors, those 15 all violated federal labor laws in one way or another, and yet still received more than $6 billion in contracts. And additionally, just in 2013, Senator Tom Harkin found that 49 federal contractors were responsible for 58 of the 200 largest enforcement actions resulting from violations of the federal labor laws. Between 2007 and 2012. Now, Harkin also found that almost 30% of the companies receiving the highest penalties or back pay awards for violations of those federal labor laws are federal contractors. So I think there's a growing concern about whether, you know, the money that Congress appropriates and agencies are awarding are going to companies that follow the law. Madeline says there is evidence that companies who violate these labor laws also tend to cut corners in the products and services they provide. And he goes, all these reasons are part of why this EEO is necessary. Again, it's not that, you know, all the vendors are bad. It's just that there's enough rotten apples in the bunch that are spoiling the whole bucket.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. I guess if you're a big enough company and you've got enough divisions, it's almost impossible maybe not to be in violation on a given day, and they come in and they settle. So, you know, the question is, are these companies corrupt or they simply make mistakes that have to be corrected?
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, because one thing that people forget about is when you have these multinational companies, they're all over the world, and you can't keep track of everything.
So what is the reaction from industry and the labor groups? I imagine they're different to the EEO.
Reaction is definitely mixed. Yeah, obviously, labor groups and others like the Center for American Progress believe the EEO is a very good thing. One example, the United Steelworkers put a release out saying the EEO shows that people are more important than profits. Meanwhile, contractor groups are concerned about several different new compliance requirements and how the EEO will eventually be put into the federal acquisition regulations. Trey Hodgkins is a senior vice president for public sector at the Information Technology Alliance for Public Sector.
The kinds of things that we have questions, of course, the devil will always be in the details. There's going to be a regulatory process. There'll be some guidance that'll be issued by the Department of Labor establishing what the expectations are for compliance, and then there will be a FAR Council activity to actually create a clause that'll go into contracts for compliance. So some of the things that I see is challenging for compliance, even if a company has a stellar record, there's a flow-down requirement. And so a company that is building a weapons platform is going to be expected to ask a set of questions and compile compliance records about all their suppliers and subcontractors. That's a challenging and a very significant paperwork exercise for a company. And at the end of the day, it increases the price the taxpayer's paying.
Now, Hodgkins say that he hopes that the rulemaking process the FAR Council and the Labor Department rely on, they're going to look at existing databases that already collect a lot of this data, and they don't want to make contractors duplicate the information collection efforts by having to re-put in data that maybe is already being put in other databases. Now, the Professional Services Council was, we'll call it, less positive. It says in a release that Obama continues to micromanage government contractors, and the EEO elevates enforcement over education, punishment over remediation, and confusion over clarity. Now, Mary Beth Bosco is a partner with the law firm Holland & Knight. She says there are things vendors need to do to prepare to meet the EEO's requirements.
First thing you need to do is look at what your company does and how many of these laws are going to affect your company. The second thing you're going to have to look at is, what systems do I have in place already to track these types of violations, and how do I make them consistent across the company? Because you also want to avoid the situation where one facility in, you know, Arizona doesn't report things up the chain, but a facility in Maryland does. And so then you've got sort of internal inconsistencies within your own corporation that will really come back and haunt you.
Now, Bosco says vendors also have to ensure training is in place, not only to find and fix these problems, but as she said, report them up the chain. People have to know, okay, when do I report this to the bigger company? When can I? And I think right now with the EEO, because it's so unclear, that's not exactly that's going to have to come out during the regulatory process. Other experts say that EO could open avenues for more False Claims Act lawsuits. I mean, imagine this, Tom. You know, a vendor reports they have no violations, but then there's a violation that officials don't know about, and then they could be held liable even though they didn't do it on purpose. It just kind of was such a big company. But that's a False Claims Act lawsuit waiting to happen, according to some experts. Bosco also says the EO could open doors for more and different kinds of bid protests. You know, for instance, an unsuccessful bidder may use a labor law violation report as a reason why the government shouldn't have awarded a contract to a competitor. And again, that's a different kind of bid protest. Now, I think one area that we haven't mentioned will have a big impact on, the EO will have on, is on small businesses. Again, Center Law Group's Crucius says that there may not have the ability or the capability to meet the mandates of the EO. And a lot of times, small businesses subcontract with large businesses. So now the small business could be held responsible for problems the large business has. Again, multinational corporations all over the world. And I think those are some of the challenges that the regulatory process will have to deal with. So I think over the next year, we will get a better sense of the real impact on agencies and contractors. But we know that from what I've been told, this executive order is one of the more demanding changes that both agencies and companies will have to deal with.
Well, a couple of questions come up. First of all, what do we know yet, what the metrics are for saying that, for a contracting officer to say you cannot have this contract because of this? In other words, if they find, okay, they had a violation, they paid a fine, it's over. Does that mean they can't get a contract, or does it have to be 10 times in the last 18 months? I mean, how does this all apply in reality?
So what's interesting about this is, you know, when I talked to David Madlin from CAP, who's been very close to the White House on working on this type of thing, he says, listen, the goal is not just to slap one bad company on the wrist. I mean, everyone's going to make a mistake. The problem is repeat offenders, the really bad actors who continually, break federal labor laws. Those are the ones that they're really trying to go after. And in fact, Tom, there was a provision in four appropriations bills for 2015 that would be much, much more, as Trey Hutchins called it, draconian. And they're glad that the EO actually is actually much, much better than those provisions in the law. And I have those more specifics on federalnewsradio.com.
It's interesting what the steel worker said, that profits are more important than people. Of course,
no, people are
people
more important
are more
than
profits. Yeah, but if there's no profits, there's no people either, unfortunately, as the steel workers above all probably know.
Well, I think that what this EO is trying to do is take a moderated approach to say we have to find the right balance between, good corporate citizens and businesses who can make money and provide good services to the government.